Kelly's going to pinch hit. I'm very confident she'll do what she needs to do. So, Kelly, if you are ready, we will go ahead and get started.
I am ready. If we can have, we can call the meeting to order at 5:17 and proceed with roll call. So we know that Ricky is not with us. Dale?
Here.
And I am present as well. So that can move us right on down to agenda item number 2, which is approve and adopt the agenda. At this point, I would like to call for a motion to remove item 11.2.
Dale, so moved.
Wonderful, and I will second. So if we can show that 11.2 is being removed from the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Got it right there, Kelly. Great job.
Perfect. And then with the removal of 11.2, are we ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay. So that takes us to item number 3, which is public comment. I'll give it my best teacher wait time.
Did we see anything in the chat?
I do not.
Okay. No, I do not see anything either.
We should be good, Kelly.
Perfect. Then we will move on over to closed session at this point.
And Kelly, on this item here, do you want to go ahead and get a motion from Dale to go into closed session?
That would be wonderful, Dale.
So moved.
And I will second.
Okay.
And everybody has the appropriate link?
Yep. We're going to drop off this call, and I say the Zoom link, so I'll see you there.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back. Okay, we are back.
Welcome back.
Pretty close. Off by 3 minutes.
Yeah, doing good.
Woo. Lori, we don't have another meeting after this one, do we?
I hope not. I don't think so.
Kelly, don't go round up the troops. We don't need another board meeting. This will be it for today.
You got it. You're off the hook.
Okay. Okay, let's take a look here. Who's back? Bree's here. Dan's here. Oh, my God. Everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you?
Fabulous.
We got to catch up.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And Ricky tonight is at a community event, so she won't be able to join us. We've had Dale. Dale's in the house, and we've got Kelly, so we're good for now. Kelly, I think we're all back, so I'll turn it over to you.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So at this point, we will report out on closed session. And in closed session, the board unanimously approved to retain Greg Casino, a CPA, for his services. And the board also approved a settlement offer to include reasonable attorney fees. So with that, we will move on to the next agenda item, which is the Pledge of Allegiance. So Dale, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pleasure. Please stand and join me. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Moving right along. So item number 8 is public comment. And Lori, do we have anything in the chat?
Not seeing any public comments.
Perfect. Then we can move ahead to number nine, which is correspondence and proposals report. And 9.1 is school highlights. So, Kurt?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, I know that we've got Christine on, we've got Erica on, we've got Erin. So, Christine, who would like to do school highlights? And do you want me to not share my screen?
It looks like I was able to take over. Can you guys see my PowerPoint? Okay, great. I'm going to keep this somewhat brief, although we've been doing quite a lot. And it's really been a pretty tremendous start of the school year. We're very, very, very proud with everything we've been able to accomplish. It's been awesome. So for the school kickoff, this is our very first year at CalPAC that we've been full at the beginning of the school year. Typically, we have we've kind of had rolling enrollment and hired more teachers throughout the year, and we're kind of realizing that that strategy is not what's best for students. That students who start later in the school year, they don't do as well. We have a harder time identifying students and tracking students and getting students the help they need because we're so focused on enrolling that the students who are here, it's just harder to cohort them together. So I think that what we'll probably do in the future is, you know, kind of plan a number and, you know, follow our charters and do a lottery if we need to. But I think I can project a number that will get us to a place where we'll be able to continue to grow at a, you know, very small, reasonable rate, but also to have full enrollment at the beginning of the year. So as students are dropping, we are taking students off the wait list, again, in the order of our charter. But, yeah, it's been really successful, and I'll give you our numbers in just a minute. Part of the success has been that we have really engaged parents this year. So at our first parent advisory committee, which was on like the second or third day of school, we had over 80 participants, which was really awesome. So we went through our LCP and some of our plans for the school year and got parent input. I believe we had a survey actually that we had parents fill out. I know at last count we had at least 50 parents who went through the survey and filled everything out. So later in our LCP, our learning continuity plan presentation, you'll hear some of the feedback from parents. So that was just really great, and we're really proud of that number of parents who are really highly engaged. And then our professional development kickoff for staff was a huge success. It was before the school year started. Teachers came back, and we did a professional development around our theme for the year, which is climbing Everest. And Ricky's not here tonight, but she did a pretty fantastic job kicking us off, as did Kurt. And we had a lot of activities. We did some work around personalities, et cetera, like, you know, how our personalities impact, you know, our relationships with our colleagues and how they, you know, kind of the traits about how we work, how we like to work. So we learned a lot about our colleagues, their, you know, triggers, things that are positive for them, and also maybe negative things that you can kind of identify. So that was really awesome. We also contract with Parsec Education. Erin Weinberg, who's on the call today, did a tremendous job. She pulled, over the summer, we were able to pull upward of like 60 to 80 reports from School Pathways from our student information system to disaggregate data and get a full data dashboard. So we can start digging into data at all kinds of levels, by student group, by grade level, credit sufficient, not credit sufficient, chronically absent, not chronically absent, SBAC scores, you name it, we can look at it. And so we actually did half a day of professional development around learning how to use that dashboard so that teachers can use that dashboard to inform instruction in various ways. So that was really exciting and really put to good use, something that you all approved back in the spring. It's going to be a big part of this year, part of our goal setting, et cetera. So that was pretty awesome. To give you an update, our total enrollment over all three schools is 847 students. You can see the breakdown here, 322 in Los Angeles, 307 in San Diego, 218 in Sonoma. We are about somewhere between 7 and 10% over-enrolled, so to speak, from our SB 98 fixed number. But we can comfortably serve these students with the staff that we have and be well within budget. So, you know, obviously if that hold harmless language would have been, you know, removed, we would be in a better financial place, but we found some ways to squeeze our pennies and make a dollar stretch a little bit more to serve a few extra students, which we're very proud of. But we did have a very long waiting list, and unfortunately we're not able to serve as many students as we could have served had SB 98 gone a different way. So these are just some of the things that we kind of are targeting for the year that we talked about in our professional development. So using that data, focusing on the California dashboard, graduation rates across all three of our schools really need to be improved. We're using CSI funds to make a big difference there. We're meeting about these students. We're really attacking it from a multi-pronged approach, trying to increase our college and career readiness indicator and chronic absenteeism, focusing on attendance and progress, using our board-approved policies to hold students accountable and try to re-engage students every step of the way. Erica does a great job. She holds a ton of meetings, you know, parent meetings, student meetings, trying to re-engage students and get them back in. I mentioned seniors already, but our goal is to get over that 70% threshold. We're really, if we can get over 70%, we'll go from red to yellow. So that's a goal. Not totally sure if it'll happen in all schools this year, but I do have a multi-year plan to address our graduation rate, and I feel confident that we're going to hit that goal in the next, I think, 2 years in most schools, and three for sure. Next month, on the docket to give you guys an update is our interventions. So I'll skip that for now, but just know that we're in the process of identifying our students who need interventions, etc. We're very excited about that. And communication is always important, particularly in an all-virtual environment. Making sure that people feel connected and know what's coming is really important. So looking ahead, we've got Back to School Night coming up next Tuesday, and with our big attendance at our PAC, we're anticipating that to be a pretty well-attended event. SMART goals, we're using that data for to meet with all of our staff in the next 30 days to set three goals that will be aligned with the school goals and also will be you know, measurable with some of those data sets that we talked about that we're gathering. And so we're meeting with that, and that's part of our three meetings per year assessment tool, right? So you do the goal setting meeting, you do a mid-year check-in, and then a final evaluation at the end. So we're right on track to do those early this year, or, well, it's always been our goal to do them in September, but this will be the first year I think we meet that goal. And then I mentioned interventions. We're really excited to present some of our intervention data and how we're identifying students extremely early this year and getting them into the intervention cycle to hopefully have some pretty positive outcomes later this year. Hopefully we test. We're ready to test this year. We want to show our results. We're excited about that. So that's it. Just, you know, give a little brief update. This is our CalPAC Summiting Everest logo for the year. It's just a little special internal logo. But that's just a few highlights about what's going on this year. Already a lot going on. It's really exciting. It's been, despite so many challenges, it's actually been the smoothest start to a year that we've ever had. It feels very, very good.
Thank you, Christine. Greatly appreciate that. That's a lot of hard work there. Gail, do you have any comments or questions?
Yeah, good news. Sounds like it's growing in the right direction. That's fantastic. And, you know, just like you said, you're kind of in a ready, fire, aim approach. So you're trying to get things moving forward, get kids in. You've got to do that. And next is how do you increase that rigor and relevance of the effort? And that's how you do it. One first, then the other.
Thank you.
Christine, did you say that you were presenting on the interventions at a later date?
Yeah, it'll be on the October agenda.
Okay. I'll save my questions for that then.
So, my church, that was my, that's when I looked at the annual, that was my understanding, was that October was going to go over interventions and data from last year, et cetera.
Right. And I want to comment, I had a chance to kind of kick the meeting off. And Christine, did you have like 45 people on the Zoom call?
Yeah, about 50. Yeah, we have a little over 50 staff total. So we had everybody classified. I mean, if you work here for 1 hour a week, you were on the call.
Yeah, and it was for Kelly and Dale and for Dana, it was incredible. Just the volume of dialogue and collaboration, the chat box, it was like Christine just did an excellent job, and I know the week was good, and it's just so nice to see how organized she is. And just, again, shout out to you, Christine, and the CalPAC team doing great work.
Well, Erica and Aaron are much, if you know my personality type, the organization is not coming from me, it's coming from us.
You got good lieutenants, good service is the time of the mountaintop. They got the oxygen, the tea, the American flag, we're good.
Yes.
A good leader, Christina, is, you know, measured by the people that he or she puts around them. Uh-huh. So
I agree. I just want to give credit where credit is due. and the fluency of our PD was not mine to take.
Okay. Real good. Well, Kelly, would you like me to transition and go right into my smart goals?
I would love to. I just have one other quick off comment for Christine is that I miss seeing the Mount Everest behind her as she presents. So, but yes, I'd love to hear the SMART goals.
Okay, super. Well, again, I want to thank our board of directors. An annual evaluation is really, really good for a CEO or superintendent, and I've enjoyed just talking with Kelly and Dale in closed session and bringing them up to speed, and then also just conducting one-on-ones. And as I kind of reflected on the last year, it gave me a really, really good vision on as I want to move forward. So I just want to touch on each of these. I've actually done better. I've narrowed it down to 5. And again, I want to kind of set that standard in our organization that we need something that is really specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. The first area kind of connects with this, with what Christine just presented when she talked about her targeting success, and really for her, I know that I'm going to play more of a role of just validating and coming alongside and really seeing how I can support her data, the California School Dashboard of Progress of Seniors Intervention and Communication. So my main intent is to keep our board informed and also authorizing districts. Going down to the next item, we know that in special education that if when I just weigh out the best organizations or districts or schools, that is something that needs to be totally, you know, as we say, dialed in, that it's calibrated, we've got internal controls, best practices, we're meeting the needs of all of our SED students, and that is going to be really, really, really critical as we continue to move forward. The third SMART goal is in my capacity. It's amazing how time has changed. I'm not really in the role of a supervisor, even though on paper I am, but more of a coach and a consultant and a mentor. And really want to continue the work we have done in the area of just creating a high development, collaborative, and looking at our culture to focus in on the strengths of our leaders and our managers, because we know that we're going to retain and attract excellent people of a very high caliber if I can work with our managers and leaders and, again, share best practices. The next item is in the area of finance. We know this year, and working with Delta Managed Solutions, that our fiscal health, our multi-year budget, our cash flow, keeping everything calibrated, looking at our monthly reports. Right now we're going through unaudited actuals and just want to make sure that we are in really, really good shape. I feel really privileged and pleased to know that Christine, this is definitely her wheelhouse. She's got a great working relationship with Shannon Green from DMS, and Christine has not bashful to reach out to me at any time to let me know where we stand, but she's just incredible at stretching dollars. So feel confident about that, but we want to make sure that we're always monitoring our fiscal health. And then the last item, we never know when something might happen with either a board member or myself or Christine, to make sure that we do have a good succession plan in place to really address any short-term or long-term needs. And as we've talked about this, I think organizations that don't have something in place, they can really get caught in a very, very tough spot. So I will keep our board apprised on this progress through the year, but I want to again thank everyone who's contributed to my SMART goals.
Thank you, Kurt. Dale, comments or questions?
Yeah, no comments. I think it's important to have some clear and articulated goals and at least see meet your needs.
Thank you, Dale.
Yeah, I would echo that. I think that those are well within your range and then some, Kurt. So, and I will echo too the comment about leadership I made to Christine. It's about with whom you surround yourself. So, job well done.
Thank you. All right, Kelly, I'll turn it back over to you. I think we're going to go down to consent now.
So we can put all of 10.1 to 10.7, all of our consent items, into one if I have a motion. Oh, excuse me, 10.7. So 10.1 to 10.7. If I can have a motion.
Dale, so moved.
Thank you, and I will second. So we will take a roll call vote. Dale?
Aye.
And I am also an aye. So that brings us to 11.1. Business and Fiscal Services.
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
Yeah, do you want to go ahead and get a motion on this first try?
I would love to.
Okay.
Can I have a motion for 11.1, approval of contract for human resources, business, and fiscal? Thank you. I will second. Take it away, Kurt.
Thank you, Kelly. Yeah, board members in front of you, we've got an annual contract. This is something that we've done when we work with our Los Angeles County Office of Education. We know that as a charter school, that we've done this annually, and it's real important that we go ahead and get this before you. When we look at HR, we look at business, we look at financial, payroll, and retirement reporting. It's a real integral part of what we do kind of behind the scenes. We look at, again, our fiscal impact for CalPAC Los Angeles, and it's $8,124.
So, Dale, comments, questions?
Yeah, no comments, questions. So, move for approval.
I don't have any either, so I will second.
Mm-hmm.
And we will take a roll call vote. Dale?
Aye.
I am also an aye. So, we will skip 11.2 and move on to 11.3.
Mm-hmm.
Approval of APEX contract for AP classes, Kurt?
Do you want to go ahead and get a motion?
A motion? I'm learning. I can have a motion for the approval of the APEX contract for advanced placement courses.
Dale,
I will second. Kurt?
Yeah. Well, thank you again. We know that when we serve our students K-12, we know that as we get into the upper grades, it's very challenging for students to really are taking those college-level courses in the advanced placement. And Christine, being a very, very small school, she's not serving 3,000 or 4,000 students, so she's got a plethora of staff that really has that expertise. And this is really a smarter, more efficient way to do business as we work with each student to make sure we can provide a very rigorous course offering. So in doing this, we think it's the best option we have right now as we look at the as we look at the fiscal impact, as we stated there for Los Angeles, it's about $3,337. For San Diego, it's about $6,037. For right now, for Sonoma, we don't anticipate anything. But again, I think it's nice to be able to serve our students with APEX.
I agree. I've had great experience with them as well. So it's nice to see that we can have an offering for students that so choose to take it. Dale, do you have comments or questions?
No, we found it very successful as well, and it's good to have that rigor available for students as they're going through the process. So good job. I approve.
So we have
May I just make one more comment? Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
So the costs that you see there are the current students' enrollments. If we get more students, it would be the per student rate. So I just want to make that comment, you know, on the record that this is our current costs. But if we would have a student next semester who would select into higher level coursework, these costs could go up. And these are just for first semester. So the costs will be also for second semester. In the detail, it shows that it's $300 per course per student. So this is our current cost, but there will be more costs, but it says all that in the backup.
Perfect. Thank you for the clarification. So we can go ahead and vote then accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So Dale?
Aye.
I also vote aye. So that takes us to item 12, which is public hearing. So let's hear about the learning continuity and attendance plan.
Mm-hmm.
And can I have
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I make a motion to open the hearing?
Yeah, you can do that from Dale. That would be great.
Perfect. Dale?
So move.
And I will second. Kurt?
Yeah, thank you. And I really apologize for interrupting there, Kelly. But no, we're excited about this. We know that when we look at the LCAP, that this is in lieu of the LCAP. You know, this is definitely high stakes. And I have put a great deal of confidence that work we've done behind the scenes with Christine and Erica and Moana Miller, that they're going to give you an unbelievable presentation here. And again, this is not an action item in this meeting, more of a public hearing. So Christine, I'm going to stop sharing. Or Erica?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to share and get this underway. Can everybody see that? All right, great. This is another... something that's been born out of, sorry, I'll turn my video on there too. Something that's been born out of the SB 98 for this year and does replace the LCAP. So this is really kind of memorializes the plans that we've had underway already for the 2021 school year and is really kind of intended to balance, streamline, and condense some of the kind of many plans that we have going on as a school. And also, as you know, our school starts a little bit later than some of the traditional district schools. So the September 30th deadline was, I'll just say we've been working really hard to make this very, you know, authentic and real and to get the stakeholder feedback that was, you know, necessary for this. So a lot of hard work has gone into putting this together, and we're happy to share. So again, the purpose of this, as a response to COVID and some of the schools needing to shut down, this is really kind of a way for schools to be able to communicate what their learning continuity plans are, as other schools are offering distance learning, which is very different from the program that they're able to offer being brick and mortar schools. So, CalPAC is different in the way that we don't have to do distance learning because we're already a virtual school who runs an independent study program. So we do feel really fortunate that we did not have to close last year when COVID initially hit, and we, you know, do not have to have our doors closed or make any big changes to our programming or our staffing, honestly, due to COVID. So although it is intended to address those areas for school and address accountability for student attendance and engagement and outline the efforts that schools are making to support all students in learning, to also highlight the changes that schools have made to programs or staffing due to COVID-19. Like I said, we have made several efforts to mitigate student learning loss and have worked really hard to put our funds in the appropriate places to support all students in learning. Our plan probably looks different than a lot of the traditional brick and mortar schools that have to make big programming changes. So the first part of the plan is the continuity of our instruction. We do offer a rigorous and comprehensive virtual independent study program, so we're happy you know, we're really happy to be able to offer that to students, and we love being an educational option. And like Christine mentioned, you know, unfortunately, the SB98 did kind of hold us to those $19.20 dollars. So we would have liked to be able to serve more students this year, but you know, we're happy to kind of move forward doing what we can. So again, the good news was that CF did not experience any school closures in the spring, and nor do we have any currently. So just in that in itself, you know, is helping to kind of mitigate any student learning losses. We've been, you know, able to continue to offer our program consistently without interruption. So our instructional program, we're very happy to be able to offer synchronous and asynchronous opportunities in order to foster high-quality pupil participation. Our students engage in live class sessions and meet weekly with their homeroom teacher. We're also able to offer technological devices and connectivity to families in order to keep students engaged, and we use frequent progress monitoring support and supportive interventions to mitigate student learning loss as well. I also want to say a special thank you for approving the 10.4 and 10.5 consent calendar items, because we actually had a pleasant surprise as we were going through our planning and organizing for this and meeting with the financial team. We did discover that we had a few more dollars to spend out the learning loss mitigation fund, so we will be applying that to the technology that you saw in the staff laptops and student laptops, and that came as a direct response to our stakeholder survey that we sent out. So we want to let you know that we will incorporate